Contemporary Halacha, Rabbi Sobolevsky, on the topic of Zmani Hayom as part of the Hilchos Shabbos series.
Once again, we're going to try to accomplish the impossible. Try to talk about everything I want to know about Zman Hayom related to the Shabbos, keeping within the Zman Hayom of Avgadah Milcha by 2:30. So we're going to try to see if we can give a little bit of an overview in terms of both the background of all the sugyas, and then hopefully some very real practical applications, particularly as Rabbanim. So we have to be very, very up to date in terms of Zman Hayom. Many, many shalas come up in terms of different scheduling, particularly relating to Shabbos, sometimes davening issues. So we hopefully will familiarize ourselves with the basics of Zman Hayom. The sugya begins in Masechet Shabbos, in the second parak, where the Gemara discusses that period of time called on. Where the Gemara discusses the concept in Halacha that period of time called Ben Hashmashos. The Gemara tells us that there is a specific time that appears in the world of the Halacha that we're not quite sure what it is. We don't know whether it's Yom, whether it's Laila. When is that time exactly? So the Gemara says it has something to do with the sun setting and something to do with the stars coming out. That's about all we know at this point. So sometime after what's called Halachic Lishkiyas HaChama, before Tzeis Kichavim takes place, that period is called Ben Hashmashos. And what's the significance of being Ben Hashmashos? It's a Safik Yom, Safik Laila, and therefore, at least in the realm of Hilchos Shabbos, that's going to spell Chumras for us, because Shabbos, of course, is Arisurim Deraisa. So a person would not be permitted to do Malacha during Ben Hashmashos, either at the beginning of Shabbos or at the end of Shabbos. The beginning of Shabbos is a Safik, maybe Shabbos has started already. The end of Shabbos is a Safik, maybe Shabbos hasn't ended yet. So whatever the time is called as Ben Hashmashos, of course, there's going to be an Issa Malacha as a Safik Deraisa L'Chumra. When exactly is this period of Ben Hashmashos? So again, the Gemara says that something to do with Shki and something to do with Tzeis. And then the Gemara puts some numbers on it. When Chazal spoke about times, they didn't speak in terms of numbers. They spoke in terms of distance, how far an average person could walk going at an average pace. They could walk X amount of space, X amount of distance. So that's, you plug that into how much that means in terms of minutes on the clock. So you can already begin to sense there's going to be a little bit of a discrepancy in that. Not everybody walks the same pace. We're not even sure exactly what size some of these paces are. But we're going to have different opinions in the post. We're just going to go first with what the clone that the Gemara gives us, which is the basis of the sugya. So the Gemara Masechet Shabbos says that from the period of Shki until the period of Tzeis, which is the Zman of Safek Yom, Safek Laila, is the amount of time it takes an average person to walk 3/4 of a mil. How long is a mil? A mil is 2,000 amas. I'm not sure exactly how big an amma is, but we're going to use the following numbers. We're going to work with the opinion that many Rishonim have, that a mil is considered to be 18 minutes. That's the shear that we use in Uchaz Matzah. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim in the third parak that if you take flour and water and mix them together, and you just sit around and don't do anything, so up until a mil, you're going to be safe. After a mil, then you have to start to be concerned. Maybe it became chametz. So there we have a tradition that a mil means 18 minutes. So we're going to use that number here also, just for our purposes right now. So the Gemara says that 3/4 of a mil is the period of Ben Hashmashos. So just do your simple math. So all our math majors, how long is 3/4 of a mil? 13.5 minutes. There you go. Okay, great. So 13.5 minutes, that's the end of Ben Hashmashos. So if you just take that Gemara Kipshuta, what it means is as follows. Once the sun sets, what time is the Shkia today? I don't know, about 4:30 or so. Let's say the sun's going to set at 4:30. What does the sun setting mean? When you no longer see the sun. What else could it possibly mean? We'll find out. But when the sun sets, you can't see. What?
4:29:02.
Wow, 4:29:02. Okay, good. Very good. I remember when I was... when I was at Rav Paramus, so they had some Yekashim and Hagam still left. So one of the people there commented that, you know, a lot of these places, these Vasikim and Yonam, so the guy standing there by the Yomud, looking at his atomic naval observatory stopwatch to see when it's going to be 4:29, you know, 6:13 and 5/8 billionth of a second before he starts Ma. before he says Hashem Svasei Tiptach, before he says Baruch Hashem, so Machlokes is what you have to start then. So that in and of itself is six words. That's already a whole different world. So whatever, that's a different story. So one of the Balabatim commented, you have to only be from a certain type of personality to appreciate this joke. So he said that he thinks that it's not really right that we have all these exact split second of a vasikin. He said that it's a different vasikin for the guy standing in the front to the guy standing in the back. because the mice of the sun does, the angle of the sun does take a billionth of a second. So you sit further back, you get a little more single strain. But yeah, it's hard. Okay, so for my seat in shul, it's the following. Okay, anyway. So let's say five would take round it off to 4:30. So if Shkiyas HaChama today is at 4:30, so you follow the Gemara's number, so 13 and a half minutes later, Benesh Mashas is over. It's Teiske Chavim. It's Laila L'Choldov, L'Choldini HaTorah. So if that's true, so if Shkiyah tomorrow night is 4:30, so from 4:30 on, obviously you can't do Malacha, but Matzah Shabbos at 4:43 and a half, you can already do Malacha, because Shabbos is over, because it's over, Benesh Mashas is over, after 13 and a half minutes. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. The problem is that all the Rishonim point out, there's another Gemara that also talks about the period between Shkiyah and Teis. That's the Gemara Maseches Pesachim in the ninth parak, and the Gemara there uses very, very different numbers. The Gemara says, from the time the sun sets until the stars come out, it takes 4 milin. It takes the amount of time for a person to walk the distance of 4 milin. 4 mil, you do your simple math, is 18 times 4. I wish you figure that out, 72 minutes. So that's a very, very different number. Big difference, big discrepancy between 13 and a half in contrast to 72. So which is the real number? How long do you have to wait in order for Shabbos to be over? So this was a major machlekes in the Rishonim. How do you resolve this problem? The answer to this problem ultimately sets into motion the two fundamentally different approaches to Zman HaYom, which makes up pretty much the beginning, at least the bulk of what we're going to speak about now. So the first understanding, I'm not giving precedence to one over the other, but at least one of the understandings to this answer is very simple. That was the approach that was originally taken by the Rif and the Rambam. It goes back to the days of the Gaonim. It's colloquially today called the Shitas Agra. Like a lot of things, the Agra had such clout in Halacha, so certain Shitas became known as Shitas Agra. The Agra didn't make it up. The Agra just told you to look at what the Rishonim said beforehand. But the Agra made it famous. The answer to the question is very simple. That when the Gemara says that the sun sets, that's the beginning of Benesh Mashas, that's exactly what the Gemara means. And in fact, 13 and a half minutes later is Teiske Chavim, without any question. The Gemara says you need 4 milin for the stars to come out. So if you look at that Gemara, says the Gemara, that Gemara is not even talking about in the halachic context. That sugya is linked with halacha. It's a drush. It's a, I got it on the end of Maseches Pesachim to figure out how far a person walks. And that's certain enough. Kaminas Ladina helps pace of shady. Not relevant for most of us today. So comes the Gemara and says, what the Gemara meant is that until all the stars come out, it's going to take 4 milin. But you don't need all the stars come out to be halachic Teiske Chavim. What's the shear of Teiske Chavim? So the Gemara says 3 stars. When you have 3 stars, that's called Teiske Chavim. I still remember as a kid, probably nobody even remembers that. Or maybe some of our senior members of the shear. I remember as a kid when sometimes we would be outside, like a summer afternoon or something, Shabbos afternoon, we'd be outside, we'd be sitting in the playground or something, and my grandmother would look up to the sky, and she would say, it's always Shabbos, it means Teitzah Shabbat, Shabbos is over. How did she know it was Teitzah Shabbos? How did she know Shabbos was over? She didn't have any computerized models, she didn't have any maizmanim, she didn't have any beepers going off. She used to look at the sky, and she would say, see, one, ain't zwei, drei, finish, that's it, Teitzah Shabbos, that's it, Shabbos is over. That's how everybody did it until 20 years ago.
How does she know she's not seeing?
Hold on, we're getting there. My grandmother had good eyesight. She knew what she was saying. So that's what the Gemara says to do. So that's what the Gemara says. That's exactly supposed. That's what they did in Lithuania also, not just in Galicia where she came from. That's how you tell her. Shabbos is over. You look up at the sky. You see 3 stars. That's what the Gemara says to be favorish. So what's the Gemara Hakana? It's about 4 milin until the stars come out. So the Gemara says that means Yitzias Kalik Yechavim. Until the sky is so dark that all the stars can be seen, that's going to take much, much longer. But that's true but irrelevant. Who needs to see all the stars? If you're running a planetarium and you want to know where all the stars are, then you got to wait for 72 minutes. But in terms of halacha, once you have 13 and a half minutes, once the Yitzias Gibbuk Yechavim, so finish, that's it. So Shabbos is over. That's it. L'chol Dini HaTorah, that's considered to be Yitzias Gibbuk. How much is that? That's 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. That's how the Gra, in quoting the Rif and the Rambam behind him, resolves that contradiction. One Gemara is a halachic Gemara, and the other Gemara is not really relevant up here. However, there was another answer that was suggested, and that was given by Rabbeinu Tam. It wasn't only Rabbeinu Tam's answer. The Ramban supported this idea. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Rabbeinu Tam that Rabbeinu Tam came up with the following suggestion. Rabbeinu Tam said is that we started calculating at the wrong point. So it says Rebbeinu Tam, in order to understand what Seis Kechavim is, you have to understand what Shkia Sechama means. The Gemara says that when the sun sets, so then you start calculating to banish mushes. So says Rebbeinu Tam, what does it mean the sun setting? You thought the sun sets means when you can no longer see the ball of the sun anymore. That's not what the sun sets means. The sun sets means much, much longer, much later after that, when maybe the rays of the sun can no longer be sensed, or whatever it is. We all know that just because the sun sets, you can still see the sky is still very, very red. So you can still sense that the sun is basically right under the horizon. Says Rebbeinu Tam, the fact that the ball of the sun has dipped under the horizon, that's not Shkia Sechama. That's mamish nothing. That's meaningless to Halacha, says Rebbeinu Tam. It's considered to be Yom Gomer, and it's still Friday, or it's still Shabbos, whatever day it previously was. When is the sun really going to set, says Rebbeinu Tam? So then we need some real math majors over here. Well, we know from the Gemara Pesachim that it takes 72 minutes from when the ball of the sun sets, which is irrelevant to Halacha. It takes 72 minutes until the stars come out halachically. And we know that Benesh Moshes has to be 13 and a half minutes. That's the Gemara. So when does the halachic sunset kick in? So do your math. If it takes 58 and a half minutes before the halachic sunset actually begins. So basically, we'll do a little simple math over here. We'll draw a little bit of a picture of Zman Hayom. So what's happening is as follows. Let's say we'll take a 6 o'clock naval sunset. Okay, when the ball of the sun dips under the horizon. Okay, so at 6 o'clock, this is what we call we'll call it sunset. We don't want to call it shkia yet. We'll call it sunset. All right. What happens next? So the next potentially important time is 13 and a half minutes. So according to the Shita Sagra, this is Teis Kechav. According to the Gra, this is sunset. This is shkia. This is Teis Kechav, and that's it. What happens later? At 7:12, you can go to the planetarium. It doesn't mean anything. Okay, planets, planetarium. It means there's a lot of stars out there. They're totally irrelevant. So according to the Gra, this is the halachic shkia, what we call sunset. 13.5 minutes later is Teis Kechavim. 7:12 is totally meaningless lahalacha. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, everything is totally different. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we'll call it the ball setting, but doesn't really mean anything. The ball of the sun is gone. So what? Big deal. Nothing happened yet. At 6:58 and a half is halachic shkia. Okay? So basically nothing's happened until now. And then at 7:12, is halachic seisik yichodim. So it turns out that everybody holds up in a Shemash is 13 and a half minutes. That's not a question. The question, I mean, again, assuming that we have our numbers right for Milan, but we're using those numbers, they may not be correct, but we're going to use it just for our, otherwise we're going to get too complicated. So everybody agrees that there's this period of 13 and a half minutes that's critical. This is the time of Ben Hashmashas. The only thing is that according to the Shita Sagra, 13 and a half minutes is over here. According to Ben Tam, 13 and a half minutes is over here. My nafkamina ladina. My nafkamina ladina. That's a huge nafkamina ladina. Both in terms of Friday and in terms of Shabbos. Let's take a look. So how is Friday afternoon looking according to the Gra? So at 6 o'clock, you better stop doing all malacha. If you're doing malacha after 6 according to the Gra, so you may be in violation of Anissar Dirais. You may be chayef skila, possibly. So at least in Hashem Tali, you're going to be chayef. According to the Gra, not even a question, no malacha after Shkia. What about on Matzah Shabbos? If the 6:13 and a half, you do malacha. What's the problem? No big deal. Right? Shabbos is over according to the Gra at 6:13 and a half minutes. What about according to Rabbeinu Tam? According to Rabbeinu Tam, at 6 o'clock, Azma, we don't have to do anything. 6 o'clock, I'm not even home yet. I'm still driving. I'm still on Route 4. I'm still stuck in traffic. So here, at 6:30, I'm getting to the shower. At 6:55, I'm getting ready to start davening mincha. I'm saying, hey, whatever I'm doing at 6:55. So the bottom line is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, this is still Yom Gomer. But according to the Gra, at 6:13 and a half is Laila Gomer. According to Rabbeinu Tam, this is Yom Gomer. And then only way after this becomes Ben Hashmashas Tzeis, etc. So you can already begin to sense these are very, very, very different opinions as to what's going on. To make matters even somewhat more complicated is that, number one, the numbers may not be 100% correct, these magic numbers that we're putting in, but we're going to use them anyway, is an observation that already many have made, that these numbers are not absolute, because not every place in the world is going to be the same amount of time for it to get dark. So there's a basic scientific phenomena that the closer you are to the equator, the quicker it gets dark. The further you get away from the equator, the longer it takes to get dark. So these numbers were given where? These numbers were given by the Tannaim. They were given in Eretz Yisrael. So now we who live further away from the equator than Eretz Yisrael, we have to extrapolate these numbers. We have to figure out Well, what do these numbers mean for us? Just to say, well, 6, 13 and a half and call it a day, so that's not an accurate statement. You have to add on a little bit further. So you have to make a ratio now. What 13 and a half minutes in Eretz Yisrael is to our X amount of minutes in sitting in New York. So that number is going to be bigger. Now, how do you figure out what that number is? So you got to do some studies. You got to look at the sun, look at the rays, look at the darkness, figure out how long does it take to get dark in New York according to that degree of darkness that happens 13 and a half minutes in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a whole different complication in terms of figuring all this out. So, bottom line, in terms of the basics, just the basic ABCs of the Gra versus Rabbi Natan, how do we paskin halacha? So it depends on who we are, depends who you ask. So the Gra said, we pass like the Gra. Okay, that was pretty obvious. So the breakdown in Klal Yisrael has been pretty much as follows. In Eretz Yisrael, the minhag has become, without a question, that the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is like the Shittas HaGra. That's why if you go around Yerushalayim, you'll find minyanim for Ma'ariv already 20 minutes after Shkia. Nobody thinks twice about it. Shabbos is over very early in Eretz Yisrael. People assume the halach like the Gra. So the Gra's minhag has become basically the minhag in Yerushalayim for sure, and pretty much throughout Eretz Yisrael. Chidei Skula, who want to be machbir like Rabbeinu Tam, but in terms of the minhag ha'olam, the minhag ha'olam is clearly like the Gra. However, there were many communities in Europe that didn't have that practice, particularly the Chassidish communities, that they followed the Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. It wasn't out of nowhere. That was the Shulchan Aruch said that. There were Muslims to say that. There were Gedolei Yaboskim who followed Rabbeinu Tam. So there were communities in Europe that had that practice. The Mishnah Berurah says that he thinks the way this should play out for us with Zman Hazeh should be as follows. The Mishnah Berurah says he doesn't think that anybody should dare and tamper with the Gra's Zman and Zman Hazeh. He doesn't think anybody should do Malacha if Tashkia. The Mishnah Berurah comes a very, very strong Hilchos Shabbos. Those individuals will think, yeah, I hold it for Ben Atam, I'm going to keep on doing Malacha. We shouldn't do that. So we have to follow these guidelines of the Gra, the Gra's real Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah's guidelines, that under no circumstances whatsoever can a person do any malacha after 6 o'clock, after Shkia. That's over, finished, history. A person who thinks they can do malacha after Shkia, so that we assume as Zman Hazeh, that's considered to be a Safach El Shabbos Gomer, Minat Torah. We bring Asham Tali for that. So under no circumstances do we have a right to be making on any malacha done after Shkia. So I say this very strongly because some people somehow got confused about that. There's a magic number called 18 minutes that people think that they have or don't have. We'll talk about that a little bit later, where that comes from. So I remember one time on that very block on Amsterdam Avenue, it was when we used to live here, so there was a guy getting out of a car, and taking all the stuff. The mice is about 10 minutes after Shkia. So I said to him, maybe you don't realize that it's Shabbos started already. So the guy said, no, sorry, I still have 18 minutes. Okay, 18 minutes to do what? To make matzah? I don't know what he wanted 18 minutes for. I said, there's no 18 minutes, you have to shkia. After shkia, it's over, finished, it's done. So that's something that we have to be very, very careful about. We have to instruct the Balabatim, especially in the winter Fridays. Under no circumstances can we accept any act of Chil Shabbos after the point of shkia. In terms of what about on the other end, what in terms of being machmir for Rabbeinu Tam at the end of Shabbos? So Me'ikra Adin, the minig in America, had become over the years to follow the Gra, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechomra. The minig was, like in Eretz Yisrael, that we assume that Shabbos is basically over 13 and a half minutes after Shkia. We don't actually do that because we live further north of Yerushalayim, so we extrapolate a little bit. So the minig became in America when the Jews started to set up the Talmud in America years ago. So the numbers became 42 minutes, 45 minutes, somewhere in that range. It was basically the Shittas HaGra. That's pretty much what it was. It was not really Rabbeinu Tam. It was basically the Shittas HaGra with a little bit of a buffer, a little bit of an addition, a little bit of a cushion. So that's what became the minhag. So that's the minhag that should be upheld in our communities as well. But again, different communities have different nuances. When I was a kid, so it was always 42 minutes after Shkia. How do you know that? Because it was always an hour after lech benching, right? That's what they told you when you were a kid. 18 minutes to bench lech, but where that comes from, it's a different story. 42 minutes till Tzeis Yechav Menchoy. And that corresponds to my grandmother's stars. That's what, approximately. So the truth is that the numbers are probably less than that. They're probably significantly less than 42 or 45 minutes. Those who've looked actually up in the stars, you can't look in New York City, but you looked out in the country, so you see that Tzeis Kechav is much earlier than that. It's usually in around the 25 minutes, 28 minutes, somewhere around a little bit earlier range. So again, in terms of a Shabbos, we still, our custom is to be machmir, that we don't end Shabbos until 45 or 42, whatever the numbers of that particular community are. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his tshuvas that he thinks that the question is a moot question in America. The machlek is the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam. We don't exactly understand the science of this. Rabbi Moshe says, Lamaisa, you can't argue with the Gemara. The Gemara says that whenever you see three stars, so that's Tzeis Kechav. The whole machlek is the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam is to figure out, do we have the stars or do we not have the stars? So what is the Gemara? Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra weren't arguing in the sky. They were arguing in the Gemara and Shabbos and the Flamidalit. But says Rabbi Moshe, the greatest machriya is the sky. So you look up and see the stars. You said correctly that sometimes we're not sure what kind of stars we're looking for. Big stars, little stars, medium stars. Are they near each other, not near each other? It says when Moshe reach a certain point where the sky is mamish full of stars. It's very hard to say that it's not Seis Kechavim. So says Reb Moshe, he stood outside on the FDR drive, he looked up at the sky, and he said, at 50 minutes after Shkia, it's Moly Vagodesh of stars, thousands of stars you could see at 50 minutes after Shkia. So says Reb Moshe, it's inconceivable that Rabbeinu Tam should say it's Yom. It's mamish ridiculous. Rabbeinu Tam's going to say it's Yom Gomer. Rabbeinu Tam said, until 58 and a half minutes, it's Yom Gomer. It can't be, says Reb Moshe. It doesn't make any sense. You look up at the sky, so you have to say that Rabbeinu Tam would be Moda in America. The only problem is, it's hard to understand that. Because everybody knows that it takes longer to get darker further north than south. So if Rabbeinu Tam was molded in America, so where did he argue? So he argued in where? In Poland. Where did he argue? He argued in Eretz Yisrael. The whole thing doesn't fit. So it's very hard to understand what this is all about. It's very, very hard to defend Shittas Rabbeinu Tam in light of the fact that the stars don't seem to bear out Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. So again, maybe there are answers for it. But it appears that we have accepted, America has accepted pretty much the same minhag as Eretz Yisrael, that we assume that Seis Kechavim is like the Shittas Agra, which means that we have to be very, very machmer on Friday afternoon also, not to ever dream, not to ever think of doing melacha after Shkia, because otherwise you end up with nobody. So that's what we assume. In terms of those who want to be machmer for Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, so there are many individuals who don't like the melacha until 72 minutes after Shkia. Okay, so Tov Aleichem Bracha, but it also doesn't really correspond to anything. Because Rabbeinu Tam's numbers, if Rabbeinu Tam's sheet is really correct, then it's got to grow by leaps and bounds in New York. It's got to be longer in New York, because we're further north than Eretz Yisrael. So if Rabbeinu Tam's original sheet was 72 minutes, till Teis Kechavim, America's got to be much longer than that. So most people don't wait that long. So most people, those people who are machma for the quote unquote Rabbeinu Tam, it's more of a token chumrim. It's a dollar milim, you know, four milim, 72 minutes, and call it a day. Literally call it a day. But that doesn't really, the number 72 doesn't really seem to fit. If you're going with the skies, and Ramosha's right, it's 50, or earlier than 50. If you're going with real Rabbeinu Tam, then in New York it's got to be more than 72. The number 72 is an arbitrary number that it was existed in Eretz Yisrael that doesn't have any bearing on us. So that's a little bit of a tough one. So whatever it is, the bottom line is that in our communities, we have accepted the sheet of the Gra, and therefore we should basically follow the Gra Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. Doesn't want to be Machmel, yes, it's Eisek, Bein, Tov Alechem Bracha.
I mean, what right do we have to be mako against the Shulchan Aruch? And I mean, it's major Rishonim on both sides.
Right.
It's not like there's a clear majority one way or the other.
Okay, the Gra had the shoulders to do that. The Minhag Yisrael became like the Gra. The Minhag Yisrael became like the Gra. So Mistamban, a lot of the later poskim pointed out that it's very hard to understand Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. If you look at the sky, I mean, it's very hard. You know, we're very practical people, so we look up at the sky at 55 minutes after Shkia in New York, and you're going to tell me that it's Yom Gomer. You're going to tell me that pollution, you can do melacha on Friday afternoon, 55 minutes after Shkia, according to Rabbeinu Tam. How can it be? It's pitch black. It's not going to get any blacker. How can it be? It's a big tzarchia. It's not a big color. We don't understand Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. But Lamaisa, the minhag has become basically not to really accept Rabbeinu Tam. Again, I'm only presenting one side of the story. There are other poskim will tell you, what do you mean we don't follow Rabbeinu Tam? Of course we follow Rabbeinu Tam. And they're talking to some Hasidic communities that today, Ani Amazeh follow Rabbeinu Tam. I'm saying that those who want to follow Rabbeinu Tam Lechumra, hey, but those who want to follow Rabbeinu Tam Lekula and do Melachah after Shkia, so I would have great difficulty. I couldn't sanction that. So now the question becomes, okay, so we who follow the view of the Gra, what about in other areas of Halacha? You know what? How serious do we take the fact that we're pretty convinced that we should follow the Gra? According to Rabbeinu Tam, you could do a lot of things after Shkia. You could have Minhag after Shkia. Women could do Hafsik Taras after Shkia. You could eat Shalom Shulis after Shkia. You could do a lot of things after Shkia. Shkia, according to Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't mean anything. So do we follow the Gra in those other areas of Halacha as well? Depends who you ask. So if you really honestly believe that we follow the Gra, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra, it's very hard to sanction all those above activities. That's why I think that in our communities, we should be structuring our shuls around the assumption that we're following the Zmanei Gra. Therefore, we shouldn't be davening, scheduling mincha after Shkia, and we shouldn't be starting Shalosh Shulis after Shkia. We shouldn't be telling women to do Hafsik Taras after Shkia. We should take the sun seriously. Remember, there was a certain Rav in Eretz Yisrael, a big place in Eretz Yisrael, who was a grunik from that school of, you know, Shlomo Zalman, you know, that Minhagi Agra. So somebody came and asked him, his wife missed Shkia by 30 seconds. Can she do a Hafsik Taras 30 seconds after Shkia? So in America, you know, some rabbanim, depends on the ask, depends where which boroughs you live in, so you'll get some more coolers out of that. So this particular Rav looked at the guy like he was from outer space. He looked at the guy told me the story. He asked the Shaila. He said, this particular Poisek looked at it like he had mamash asked whether you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. He couldn't even understand what the latest Asafik was. You can do Hefsek Tara 1 second after Shkia. And it's all finished. It's the next day already. Misafik, it's the next day. So again, we who follow the Gra, we try to be run our entire life around that. Again, I'm just presenting my side of the story. There are Rabbanim Cheshuvim who say, no, we accept Rabbeinu Tam a little bit, and therefore we can have Mincha after Shkia, we can have Hefsek Tara after Shkia. There are such opinions out there. But I got to call him like you see him.
Mincha Maker, then you might have another Amatir Ha'am.
You might have what?
Finish Mashas.
It's a different question. Can you have Mincha Sufik, Sufik Darbon? Cool, okay. The Gemara doesn't sound that way, but okay. It's okay. This original Machlekes between the Venetam and the Gra set into motion a whole other question which relates to important scheduling in terms of Shabbos. And that's the issue of the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes derives from a series of psukim that there is a mitzvah to begin Yom Kippur early, to start the fast early. Because it says in the Chumash, "B'tisha l'chodesh be'erev," you have to observe Yom Kippur on the 9th. What do you mean the 9th? It says in the Chumash, Yom Kippur is on the 10th. So what does that pasuk mean, "B'tisha l'chodesh"? So the Gemara says that you have to begin to fast a little bit on the 9th before Yom Kippur actually begins. Then the Gemara says, not only do you have to begin Yom Kippur early, you have to begin Shabbos and Yom Kippur early, and all the Gemara dashes some psukim. That anytime you have a day of conditions ayom, so you have to be makabel Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, before it starts, before the Zman actually starts, and you have to observe it after the Zman is over. That's the mitzvah called Tosefes Shabbos v'Yom Tov. So there's a big problem that the Ramban deals with, is when exactly is this mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos supposed to take place? So one thing is obvious, Tosefes Shabbos, or Tosefes Yom Tov, Tosefes Yom Kippur, is obviously referring before the Zman actually starts, before the day of Shabbos v'Yom Tov starts. You don't need a mitzvah Tosefes if it's already Shabbos itself. And similarly, the Ramban adds on that it's obvious that if the Zman is even Misafik started, if it's even a Safik Shabbos or a Safik Yom Tov, then you don't need a mitzvah Tosefes. Tosefes means that it's Chol. It's for sure has not started. But Afal Pichein, we're going to tell you to, as a mitzvah in Atar, you have to start a little bit earlier. But it's not a Vaday Shabbos, it's not even a Safik Shabbos. It's mamish nothing. It's Chol B'Alma, and Afal Pichein, there's a mitzvah to begin early. So the Ramban says, so show me on the clock, when exactly is this mitzvah? So comes the Ramban and says the following cheshbon. Let's say, if the Gro would be right for a moment, that Shkia is 6 o'clock. So even when there's a mitzvah Tosefes, when is it? It's got to be before 6. It's not after 6:13 and a half is already Shabbos. What do I need Tosefes for? Between 6 and 6:13, it's a Suffolk Shabbos. So Vaita, what do I need Tosefes for? So obviously, there's a mitzvah of Tosefes has got to be somewhere in this range. That's where the mitzvah Sator is of Tosefes Shabbos. So he asks the Ramban, if that's true, then there's a Mishnah Shabbos that contradicts this. Anyone learn Daf Yomi? Okay, so a few weeks ago, the Mishnah said, Beisilo Matir in Mashemesh. Beisilo says, you're allowed to do whatever malachi you want on Friday. Beshamai says that any malachi you do on Friday that's going to lead into Shabbos is problematic. So according to Beshamai, you can't set up your Shabbos clocks, you can't set up your traps, you can't do a lot of things because the malachi is going to happen by itself. That's a problem. And Beis Hillel says it's not true. Beis Hillel matir mashemesh, as long as you start it before the sun sets, everything's great. So ask the Ramban, what do you mean Beis Hillel matir mashemesh? What kind of a misleading statement is that? According to the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, you have to stop malachi before the shemesh. So the reading of the Mishnah sounds like, you look outside, I see the sun, as long as I see the sun, I'm still okay, I can do whatever I want. So ask the Ramban, what do you mean you can do whatever you want? What do you mean, Beisilam Atir Mashemesh? Even before the sun sets, you have to stop doing Malacha to fulfill the mitzvah of the Sefer Shabbos. That's the Ramban's kasha. So to answer this kasha, the Ramban says, we misunderstood when the mitzvah of the Sefer is, because we misunderstood what the phrase Mashemesh is all about. So comes the Ramban and says, the Zmani Hayom are not like the Gro. The Ramban says Rabbeinu Tam is correct in terms of the Zmani Hayom. And therefore, argues the Ramban, what Beisilam Atim Hashemesh means is like this. Before 6 o'clock, Kolzman, you see the sun, you don't have to do anything. There's no mitzvah Tosefes. It's Friday, it's like Friday morning. There's nothing for you to do at 4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30, quarter to 6, 5 to 6, 2 to 6. There's nothing to do. Kolzman, you see the Shemesh, you can do whatever you want. O Malacha. Once the Shemesh sets, there's no Issa Malacha yet. You're not mechuv to keep Shabbos yet, because it's still Yom Gomor. But once the sun sets, then the mitzvah Tosefes Shabbos kicks in as well. So at that point, says the Ramban, you have to decide how much Tosefes Shabbos are you going to keep. You're not mechuv to keep the whole hour and an hour of Tosefes Shabbos, but you're mechuv to keep part of it. So So that's why the Mishnah is free to say beisila matir nima shemesh, that you're allowed to do malacha lechetchila kol zman to see the sun. Once the sun sets, then we negotiate. You don't have to stop. It's not a nista malacha yet. But that's when you become bound by the mitzvah of the sefer Shabbos, which doesn't require you the whole 58.5 minutes. You can take a few minutes at the end, and that's fine. So according to the Ramban, the only way to resolve the Zman HaYoim with Beis Hillel's cryptic statement of Matir Mashemesh is to introduce Rabbeinu Tam's Zman into the picture. So Tosefes clearly doesn't exist according to the Gra. It exists over here. How does the Gra solve... I'm sorry, let me put it in the wrong place. According to Rabbeinu Tam, where's Tosefes? Right over here. Part of it, or as much as you want. How would the Gra respond to this claim? Sorry, sounds very powerful. The claim that the Ramban has. So there are one of two possibilities according to the Gra. One is to say that the lashon of imashemesh is lav dafka, that we were right in what we said, that the sefes according to the Gra really is over here. And when Beis Hillel says matir imashemesh, that doesn't mean to the last second. That means to look outside. I can see the sun. It's also Thursday today. I can see the sun, so I'm allowed to do a. A lot of do malacha today. A lot of do malacha. It's 2 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock. The sun's mama shining. When the sun's gonna set pretty soon, I better stop doing malacha. It's not so meduyak. The lashon mashamish is not so meduyak. You have to stop. You have to refrain from malacha a couple of minutes before shkia to fulfill the mitzvah of tesefes. But they still was still free to use the phrase imashemesh. So the Ramban took the lashon mashamish so literal, and he had to make up a new time for imashemesh. The Gra said, "Nah, it's not true." And the other pshat, which happens to be the Pshat the Gra himself says, is that in Rechinami, the question is better than the answer. And what's the correct answer? What's the answer to this dilemma, says the Gra? There is no such thing as the Sefer Shabbos. That the Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos disagrees with the Brayis in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. There is no such thing as the Sefer Shabbos, says the Gra, doesn't exist. It's not on the radar screen, doesn't exist. The Pasuk says, B'tisha l'chadosh b'erev. So the Gra says, if you look carefully at the Rambam, Menuchah Shvi'is is also by Yom Kippur, you'll get the answer. The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah to begin fasting on Erev Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur starts. The Rambam doesn't say there's a mitzvah to refrain from halacha. The Rambam nowhere in Menuchah Shabbos and Yom Tov says you have to refrain from halacha before Shabbos and Yom Tov starts. We paskin, says the Gra, there is no such thing as the Sefer Shabbos. There's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma of fasting on Erev Yom Kippur for a few minutes before Yom Kippur starts. But there's no such mitzvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why is there no such mitzvah? Because it can't be. There's no place to put it. It doesn't exist, says the Gra. So we have three different permutations now about this mitzvah of Tosefes. So according to the Ramban, following in the footsteps of Rabbeinu Tam, Tosefes is after 6 o'clock. According to the Gra, according to not the Gra himself, but those who wanted to salvage the Tosefes according to the Gra's Zmanim, would put it over here. And according to the Gra himself, except for Yom Kippur, it doesn't exist. How does this impact us in terms of scheduling our shul minyanim? So this is important. So we want people to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefes properly. So what does Tosefes mean? What do you have to do to be mosif, assuming such a mitzvah exists? So there's a further machlokes whether Tosefes requires just merely to refrain from malacha. As long as you're not doing malacha, you're fulfilling Tosefes. But does Tosefes mean more than that? Tosefes means you have to actively do something. You have to literally be makabel, verbally, you have to accept upon yourself Kiddusha Shabbos. So how does this play out in terms of our Zman HaYom? So most shuls today, Daven Mincha, Friday afternoon, usually about 15 minutes or so before Shkia. So if you do a simple calculation, if you start Mincha 15 minutes before Shkia, you will be koshi, finish Mincha right around Shkia time, and then you'll start singing Yedid Nefesh, and L'chon Aranana, and then if you're Kalbachi, it'll be another hour and a half, whatever it is. Eventually you'll get to Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, which is usually the official formal Kabbalah Shabbos. That Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos is going to be recited well after Shkia. So the question is there anything wrong with that? So let's go through the Cheshbon. So according to the Ramban and Rabbeinu Tam, that's great, because as long as you get it in before 58 and a half minutes after Shkia, you're home free. I mean, you got to be really kabbalistic. You got to be like Kola. You got to dance around for 20 minutes. And still, you probably will get it in before 6:58 and a half. So according to Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban, no problem. We get to Miz Mashir in perfect time. The only problem is we don't really follow the Ramban or Rabbeinu Tam. We just got finished saying that Aminig is not really to follow that. So we want to follow the Gra. So some will say, well, you want to follow the Gra. That's great. Because the Gra said, there's no Tosefes Shabbos. There's nothing to worry about. So we're home free either way. The only thing that we may want to do is, we may want to We want to outdo the Gra. That's kind of hard to go. No, we want to go with the Gra's Amana, but we still like Tosefis. We don't want to be Moichel, we don't want to be with Tosefis Shabbos so fast. So we want to try to chop around Tosefis Shabbos. So what would that mean practically? So what that means is that a person would have to be Mosif Michol HaKodesh before Shkia. How do you do that? So if you hold that Mosif just means not to do Malacha, most people are not doing Malacha at that point, or shouldn't be doing Malacha at that point. But if you hold that Mosif means to verbalize, to say Kabbalah Shabbos, no one's going to get, our shuls are not getting there before 6 o'clock. So a person would have to improvise. If a person wants to be Yotzei to Sefer Shabbos, L'chol HaDeyes, he would have to be Mekabel verbally upon himself, Kedusha Shabbos, technically before Shkias. That's what some people do. Some have the practice that as soon as they finish Men Esrei on Friday afternoon, or if they daven early minyan, whatever it is, so a couple of minutes before Shkia, they say, I'm Mekabel Kedusha Shabbos, I'm Mekabel upon myself Shabbos, and that way they Yotzei to Sefer Shabbos, L'chol HaDeyes. So again, according to Rebbeinu Tam, there's no need to do that, because according to Rebbeinu Tam, the Ramban, you're going to get that when you get to Mizmah Shir in 20 minutes from now. According to the Gra himself, there's no need to do that because there's no such mitzvah. But according to the quasi-Gra, there would be an idea to do that, assuming that Tosefes Shabbos means a formal declaration. So again, it's a little bit of a chumrah gabi chumrah. So even though I recommend people should do that all the time, there's one day a year where everybody should do that. That's an Erev Yom Kippur. Because Erev Yom Kippur for sure this Tosefes, even according to the Gra this Tosefes, and the Gra's Tosefes has to be before 6. So therefore, I think everyone should be careful at least once a year to make that declaration. Those who daven Tefillah Zakha, so built into Tefillah Zakha is that declaration of Kabbalah Kedusha Hayom. Those who don't say Tefillah Zakha, so should say some kind of an official formal Kabbalah Hayom to be Yotzei in the midst of Tosefes HaChol HaDeyes. So again, so this Machlokes Rebbe Tam and the Gra is now going to spill over in terms of when we're supposed to be starting Shabbos, not even in terms of the actual Issum Halacha, but in terms of Tosefes, is it later, is it earlier, does it exist, does it not exist? That's a good question, yeah. So Tosefes is unclear how much it is. Tosefes writes that it's some kind of a shear. Tosefes and Beitzer writes there's got to be some shear to it. They bring a right from the Gemara. There's some amount to it. But Tosefes says, lo yadina. We don't know what it is. Let's say a few minutes. That's a further shot. Should you be Mekabel? I mean, if you are... you're not the chaz. As long as you're not the chaz, then you're okay. Aleinu, it's an Aleinu of Shabbos, Aleinu of Uzun. You can say Aleinu. I used to last year when I was in Avelis, so I was always nervous about this because I used to daven for the Yom Friday afternoon. So when I wasn't, normally I'm not daven for the Yom Friday afternoon, so I finished my Shemoneh, so I still got a good 7-8 minutes to go. So I would always be Mekabel Shabbos. Daven for the Yom, you can't do that. So I used to always make sure to stop Minchan time. Otherwise, I would start a couple minutes late. When I was davening for the Yavid, so I'd always make sure to start Mincha on time. Or every once in a while, I would chappen early Friday Mincha. So, yeah.
Even on Erev Yom Kippur, isn't the Gra, the Rambam, isn't it
Tosefes
only regarding
Eden? So the question is, right. I mean, according to the pure Rambam and Gra, the question is, but does that Enoi require a Kabbalah, official Kabbalah? Do you have to... Right, you have to be Makabal Inu. Okay, yeah, right. You have to revamp. You have to say, Harini Makabal Asanos, right. In the Tefillah Zakha, we say both. We say Harini Makabal Kedusha Yom Asanos, but we say the whole double option, you're right. That's a further question. Assuming you need any Kabbalah, do you need a Kabbalah Bepel also? If you're ready to be Makabal, you might as well be Makabal Bepel.
From the, if you're
Dami
Mincha, and you accept after Shemon Esrei, and then you realize, it's like Rosh Chodesh, you've got Dalat Yom, and now you have to repeat it.
It's too complicated. Yeah, we gotta save that for the third shift. It helps to feel apart. I don't know. Yellow, yellow shots.
So, where is the 18
minute candle? Okay. So, where did this notion of women benching left early come from? So, women are men are supposed to be supposed to have some kind of a tie with the Sefer Shabbos. So, the question is, how much should we advocate for the Sefer Shabbos? So, there is a one opinion in the Rishonim, but let's admit we don't really follow. Who claims that we misunderstood a little bit about some of this Zman HaYom. The Lozman Mitz claims that Ben HaShemashos begins before actual Shkia. That means what we consider to be Yom Gomor, he already considers to be Ben HaShemashos. And it actually starts 13 and a half minutes before that. So that's assuming that's called 3/4 of a mil. There's one day that says that a mil is 24 minutes. So with 3/4 of 24 is how much? 18. So that's the biggest Chumra possible. If you take Rabbi Lozman Mitz's Chumra of that Ben HaShemashos starts before Shkia, and the biggest possible mill is 24 minutes, so in theory you can end up with a magic number of 18 minutes. That's one possibility where that magic number comes from. It's not clear exactly where the number comes from. Harai and Yushalayim, the minig is much more than that. Basically, it's a minig of Tosefa Shabbos. That's basically what it's all about. So we should advocate that women should follow that. Poskim write that the men are not really bound by that. If a man spills a drive into shul within the 80 minutes, technically that's okay. The famous story of Rav Moshe that someone used to drive him to the yeshiva on Friday afternoon, even within the 80 minutes, and once one of the balabatim who didn't really understand too much, so he gave Rav Moshe Musar. He says, Rabbi, I don't understand. He said, you're driving within the 80 minutes. So Rav Moshe said, after that he stopped because he felt, even though the minig was never for men really to do that, but he felt it's going to lead to a zilzul Shabbos. Since the balabatim didn't understand, they saw that here they're driving their wives crazy to bench lechem tov, and the Rosh Hashiva is driving after 18 minutes, so Rosh himself stopped that also.
Why are we assuming that a meal is 18 minutes?
Why are we assuming that? We have a tradition that some Rishonim had that a meal comes out to a...
What?
Okay, yeah, it's a cheshbon. It's a whole cheshbon based in the Gemara Maseches Pesachim that it comes out according to some Rishonim that it's 18 minutes. There are different opinions in Rishonim. There are some Rishonim say 22 and a half, and some Rishonim say 24 minutes. There are different opinions in Rishonim what it is. So our purpose is we're taking the number 18. Try to do what? Yeah, we move out the women. Yeah, the minig in America is that we try to bench stuff like 18 minutes before she can. Yeah, it's a minig tov. About that, we should encourage it. Maybe I'll continue what I have to say, and then we'll have to take all the questions towards the end. Okay, otherwise we're going to stuck here in the mills. Okay. So up until now, we've been talking primarily about a regular Shabbos, everything starting pretty much on time, ending pretty much on time. But now I want to move into another issue that relates to many of these things. That's as Rabbanim, we're definitely going to have to face the issues relating to early Shabbos. How does that complicate matters? So it makes things easier in certain sense and complicated in other senses. It makes it easier because you don't have to ever worry about malacha being done on Friday afternoon because you're makapel Shabbos an hour before Shkia, so everything is great. The only problem is that the notion of an early Shabbos creates a whole series of different issues. The primary issue that one has to face in terms of the early Shabbos is the issue related to Hilchos Tefillah. So again, this is I'm trying to keep as much as I can towards the Hilchos Shabbos part. That's why we're not going to be talking too much about Zman Kriyishma and other Zman Hayom issues or Los and Vasikin kinds of things. But whatever's related in terms of Shabbos, particularly scheduling the early Shabbos properly, so I feel we can digress a little bit. Okay? Yeah, your Rishos is very good. Okay. And if I didn't get it, I would still do it. Okay. Nothing in person. So the notion of an early Shabbos is not something that was made up in America 30 years ago. The early Shabbos already existed. The Gemara speaks about it. My famous Gemara in the fourth Berachah Brachas. The Gemara discusses it in the context of the Hilchos Tefillah. We know that the first mission in the fourth Berachah Brachas quotes the Machlekes at Tanoim as to when is the latest time one should have a mincha. And I do a Shabbos, a regular day. When is the Sobzman mincha? So one Tana says it's a plaga mincha, Shav Yehuda Shita, which again, for our purposes, we're going to say it means an hour and a quarter before Shkia. That may or may not correspond to anything, but we're just going to use that number for now. An hour and a quarter before Shkia. And according to the Chachamim, it's not that, it's Ad Shetechshach. We're going to assume that Ad Shetechshach means until Shkia for now. Again, that may or may not be true either, but if we keep on questioning everything that we're saying, then we're going to get nowhere. So bottom line is, on a regular day, when the sun's going to set at 6, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can have mincha until 4:45, and according to the Chachamim, presumably you can have mincha until 6 o'clock. When is the earliest time to daven Ma'ariv? So Gemara says b'feirish that there is no earliest time to daven Ma'ariv. The earliest time to daven Ma'ariv is whenever mincha is over. Why is that? What kind of strange thing is that? Every other tefillah has a beginning and an end. How come Ma'ariv doesn't have objectively beginning? So the Bnei Yeshua writes that we should really daven Ma'ariv all day and all night, because davening Ma'ariv is connected to Taurus Chalavim Veivarim, connected to the burning of the fats on the Mizbeach, and you can do that all day and all night. So why is there a Zman Ma'ariv? So the answer is because Chacham didn't want there should be two tefillahs at the same time. So there's no objective reason to start Ma'ariv at a certain time. Ma'ariv begins whenever Mincha ends. So therefore the Gemara says that according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, the Mincha ends at Plaga Mincha at 4:45, so you can start davening Ma'ariv right after that. According to the Chacham, Mincha ends at 6. You can start davening Ma'ariv right after that. How do we pass in the halacha? So the Gemara says, "Lo itmar lo hilchos alo kamar v'lo kamar." That we don't have a clear cut halacha, and therefore the avi kamar of it, the avi kamar of it. One has a right to do either way, and the Gemara tells stories that Rav did one way, Rav Huna did another way. The Gemara says that there were different practices in the days of the Amoraim, and everybody was right. The avi kamar of it, the avi kamar of it. Nevertheless, many of the Rishonim point out, the very first Tosfos in Brachos raises this issue, that even if you hold that the other Kamara of the other Kamara of it, you have to be careful in terms of not contradicting yourself. Why? Because if a person is davening Mincha, let's say at 5:30, so he is in effect the Rabbanan person. He's saying that the Zman of Mincha is still 6. So if you daven Mincha at 5:30, so then how can you daven Ma'ariv at 5:40? That doesn't make any sense, says Tosfos. That's what we call a tie to the Sasre. If you want to daven Mincha before 4:45 and then daven Ma'ariv at 4:46, that you can do, because then you're a Rabbi Yehuda man. So you daven Mincha before plag and Ma'ariv after plag. You want to daven Mincha at 5 to 6, daven Ma'ariv at 5 after 6, that's also okay, according to the Chachamim. But if you want to daven Mincha after plag and Ma'ariv before Shkia, so then you're contradicting yourself. So Tosfos writes, you're not allowed to do that. So not everybody agrees to that Tosfos. There are some Rishonim who say, you are, you can contradict yourself, it doesn't matter. It's a mutually exclusive. But the Rabbanan, Safi Rabban Lakula, Tzachos Tevila, the Hekilah, the Chachamim, whatever it is. So the different opinions in the Rishonim, is that really a problem, this tied to the Sasre notion? So Tosfos comes down very strong against this practice of being tied to the Sasre, and other Rishonim defended it. In the days of the Rishonim, they used to daven Ma'ariv all the time early. Because first of all, it was dangerous. The shuls were not always necessarily in the middle of town. Sometimes the shuls were outside, and it was dangerous for people to walk back in the dark, so they would always try to get Ma'ariv in as early as possible. I remember I was a couple of years ago. I was in Germany with Rabbi Schechter. It was the end of June, and it was not much like the latest time of the year. And the Zmanim were very, very late there. So we were sitting around and waiting. Shkia was 9:30, and then it's further north. Doesn't get dark till much, much later. So we were sitting and watching and looking. When's it going to finally get dark? So Rabbi Schechter said to me, he says, now we understand why the Rishonim daven Ma'ariv early. He says, it's ridiculous. He says, it never gets dark here. So, okay, so that's correct. Anyway, so there was one time I was, who was with me? Someone was here. Who's with me? You were with me. That we were in Munich for Tisha B'Av a couple of years ago. There's some NCSY program. And Tisha B'Av was also over very, very late. Remember that? There was a... I remember the guys daven Ma'ariv earlier. I didn't even daven Ma'ariv with the guys. I don't want to tell you because I didn't even think it was plag yet. But I daven Ma'ariv. It was about 11 o'clock. I was ridiculous. I was looking. It looked like it was pretty dark already. So after 11 or so, by 11:30, I think I was comfortable to eat. But it was, if it would have been Yom Kippur, I'm not sure I would have eaten at 11:30 either. It wasn't pitch black yet. But it looked dark enough. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So the many Rishonim say we try not to contradict ourselves. So how do we follow the halacha? So we try, l'chadchila, follow the Tosfos, that we don't contradict ourselves. Then the postman have a further question, what if I contradict myself on two different days? One day I'm Rabbi Yehuda, the next day I'm the Chachamim. So we try to avoid that also. So the Magen Avraham writes that even though we try hard not to contradict ourselves in this area, there's one thing that does permit us to contradict ourselves in the Chas Tevila, and that's the Macham Tosefer Shabbos. We have a very strong reason. We want to be Mekabel Shabbos early, so that's a mitzvah, Nosif Michol HaKodesh, and that's sufficient grounds to change teams, to become Rabbi Yehuda this tonight, even though the rest of the week we're basically Chachamim. So that's usually what our practice is, that we generally follow the Chachamim. We have Mincha Nashul, to the buzzer, some shuls after the buzzer. So everybody here davens mincha after plak mincha sometimes. Not everyone davens mincha gedola. So since we always daven mincha till otah, till 6 o'clock, so we basically have accepted the view of the Chachamim. So therefore, we should really try not to daven ma'ariv till at least after shkia. This is putting aside Kriya Shma issues. Kriya Shma is a different story. There's my Kriya Shma says kichal. That's already a different poem. But even just in Shema Esrei, or a person's going to say Shema later, whatever it is, one really, under normal circumstances, should never daven ma'ariv. Should never daven Shema Esrei until after shkia. Since we really follow the view of the Chachamim, we should be consistent. The only time we should ever permit davening Ma'ariv before shkia would only be on a Friday afternoon, b'makom tosefes Shabbos. Remember, I was several years ago. I was visiting in Florida, and I came to one of the shuls there. I came to daven mincha, and so I daven mincha. And right after mincha, they announced that it was 5:15. And they announced that it was 5. They start saying vurachum. I said it was like June. I said it was another 3 hours till it was getting. It was nowhere near plag mincha yet even. So I asked somebody, "My hi, what's going on?" So they explained to me that in Florida, the minhag is they daven ma'ariv before plag mincha. They daven ma'ariv 5:15 the whole year. You know why? Because the early bird special. Because apparently the early bird special and the restaurants is over by 6 o'clock. So if they don't finish ma'ariv by 5:30, the people can't get in to get their discount, to get their half-priced salad, whatever they're eating. So therefore, the minhag is to daven ma'ariv at the wrong time. That's what someone explained to me. Okay, that's interesting. So I didn't daven ma'ariv then. I didn't need to. I was moichel on my early bird special. I ate before, and then I daven ma'ariv afterwards. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So except for Friday afternoon, we shouldn't really rely on this davening ma'ariv before plag, but before shkia story. So the Magen Avraham, and then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, who says that even though we're very makil on Friday afternoon, we let davening ma'ariv before shkia, we wouldn't do the rest of the week. But Afal B'chein, says the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, at least on that day you shouldn't contradict yourself. That means it would be inappropriate for on that Friday to get a daven mincha at 5 o'clock and daven ma'ariv at 5:10. That's not right. If you want to daven ma'ariv early after 4:45, make sure to daven mincha at 4:30. So Osa Yom shouldn't be Celsius. That's a higher level, a greater level of time to the Sasri. So that would for sure be inappropriate. That's the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Magen Avraham. So that's what we try to do in most of our shuls. So there used to be a minhag in America called the 7 o'clock Shabbos. It still exists in some places. But that 7 o'clock Shabbos was very problematic because the 7 o'clock Shabbos was always wrong. It was all summer long, was always off. Because when's the latest plague in New York? I think 57, right? 6:57. So where did that 7 o'clock come from? Because they were nervous that if they're going to start mincha before 7, the women are going to start to bench lech before 7 also. And women can't be yotzei at lochas neiros to plaga mincha. So it was a low plug. They wanted to make sure that none of the women should light at the wrong time, so therefore the men have been davening at the wrong time for 50 years. So they started all the minchas in America at 7 o'clock because of that problem. So that really didn't make, it was hard to understand. So that's why in later years, so a lot of the shuls have either done away with that 7 o'clock minyan, or they've tailor-made it a little bit, that they've made what's called a pre-plag minchas. That's what we do in our shuls, what many shuls do now. Rather than having a 7 o'clock standard minyan, which is wrong at all times of the year, so what you do is, you want to make an early Shabbos, that's fine, but you plan mincha 15 minutes before shkia. So it's a floating zman. In the old days, so there was no way to tell anybody anything. You put out a bulletin once a week, and then, so you didn't want to keep on changing the zman all the time. People were going to get confused. So you had a 7 o'clock minyan, it was easy. The zman is there. Everyone gets 5,000 emails from the shul, every piece of Narish get anyway. So you check on their websites, everyone sees. So last week mincha was 6:10, this week mincha 6:20, the following week is 6:30. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the mincha changes with the time. So that's what many, many shuls do now, that they have a pre-plag mincha. Instead of a 7 o'clock mincha, they have a pre-plag mincha, and then right after the plag, they start Kabbalah Shabbos, and they don't matter if 10, 15 minutes left.
Why is there this issue on Fridays? Why can you say, like, we sort of mentioned earlier, you daven mincha after plag, then you can stop Shabbos, and you have 9 minutes after plag, but it's Shabbos.
So that's a big question. Does Kabbalah Shabbos change anything else out of the realm of Hilchos Shabbos? That's a big machlokes poskim. So let's say in Hilchos Nida, so we paskin and Ikra Din, even though a woman bench less, she could still do Hefsek Tara, because it's not really the next day. It's the next day for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, but it's not the next day for Kol Tara Kula purposes. So in Hilchos Tefillah, many poskim hold that's not going to work. That, just saying that Shabbos and Hocus Pocus is the next day, that's not going to work for Hilchos Tefillah.
I was learning in a Sephardi yeshiva over the summer, and it was housed in Yahavei Dat, or the Vigios of Sokolo, I'd always had this idea drilled into me that, you know, if you want to do early Shabbat, you should shoot Davin Mincha before Plag. And I got to the shul right from Plag, expecting them to be starting Kabbalah Shabbat, and they didn't. And then they started Mincha a while after that, and this was, you know, these were all Kolol guys and so on. So I was like, okay, what's going on? So I asked the Rebbeim later about that, and they said that they don't accept that here.
They don't follow the Magen Avraham? Okay. They're entitled to.
They say that there's no problem. And okay. In fact, we did on occasion daven ma'ariv before.
So they're allowed to. I can't present everybody's opinion.
At least the 7 o'clock has something.
Yeah. It's based on something. It's based on something. The reason why they picked that number 7 was because of the Plaka Mincha issue, but yeah, they relied on something. This idea of starting early Shabbos is usually something we only do in the summertime. Most people don't think of doing it in the wintertime. So there are only two times that we had an issue in our shul of possibly doing it in the wintertime. One we didn't, and one we did. So one was in Asar B'Tavis, falls out on Friday. So there was a question, could we start Shabbos early? Because there are some Rishonim who say that once you makabel, it's part of that same shala, once you makabel Shabbos, Titus is over. So some Rishonim said that you can makabel Shabbos, 2:30, daven mincha 2:30, the makabel Shabbos by 3 o'clock, whatever it is, and daven ma'ariv at 3:05, and done deal, go home and eat supper at 3:15. So that's what some Rishonim say. So that's not a minig. A minig, at least in our communities, is that you wait until it's actually dark in order to eat on Asar B'Tavis. So that's the time we didn't do it. The only time in the history of the years I've been in Burgerfield that we ever did it was a couple of weeks ago, the Shabbos post hurricane, since we didn't have any power. The shul didn't have any power. Most of the people in town didn't have any power. So the Rabbanim in town were very concerned that are safety issues, that the streets were pitch black and there were downed wires and trees, everything all over the place, and the shuls were pitch black. So the rabbanim were concerned. You can have 100 people or all 10 people were still left in town at that, by the time Shabbos came around. If you can have people coming to shul and walking home, and then how are they going to be able to eat the meal? And we don't want people to be moving around candles and flashlights. So we figured, oh, make an early Shabbos. So kachav. So we made an early Shabbos that week, Pashas Vayera. So we called Mincha. It was 4:30 Mincha, which is not so crazy because that happened to Mincha. It was the week before they changed the clock. If it would have been the week that they had already changed the clock, then we would have had to have a 3:30 mincha. That's a mincha. So we wanted to make sure everybody was home and eating and happy before it got actually literally dark outside. So that was the only time that we ever did it. We had to do a strange thing also. We had to do the Motzei Shabbos as well because we had the same concern with the Shabbos. We don't want people to be walking around in the dark. So we decided to do what the Gemara in Baruch says, that you can make you can end Shabbos early. Not literally. You can't do malacha, but you can daven ma'ariv. You can daven ma'ariv if you have to shkia Motzei Shabbos also. Poskim say we don't do it unless it's a Shas of Chak because it's going to mix people up, but that's what we did. So we daven Mincha right before Shkia, like a regular Shabbos, and then instead of me giving a drasha for 40 minutes, I spoke for about 30 seconds, and we daven the Meir of Mamash of the Shkia with a Tachan and Tanu, with the works and everything, and I told everyone go home before it gets Mamash dark outside, and don't do Malacha until you make Avdala another 45 minutes, whatever the proper time in the community was. So that was the only time I commented in shul that was the only time in my life I ever remember doing that. Davening Ma'ariv and Rotzei Shabbos before the Zman. It was very strange. The only thing that we were mavat there on was, I told them they don't say v'yitin l'cha. Now shul we say v'yitin l'cha. But I said, all right, that one moichalam, because first of all, half the people don't say it anyway. And even those people who say it on a regular week, nobody knows it by heart, and it was already 10, 15 minutes after Shkia. I saw the people breaking their, could barely see Birchas Krishma. So Kavachom v'yitin l'cha, no one's going to say it with greatest lava. So Yaakovin will be meichal on the bracha v'yitin l'cha for the hurricane in Shabbos. Okay, anyway. Then people thought that we changed the minhag in the shul. People were very disappointed the following week when I said that. Punches has to be careful when you make an early Shabbos. There are a few other important things to be aware of in terms of Zman. You have to be careful that people say Kriyashma at the right time. The truth is, people have to be aware of that all the time. Even in a lot of shuls, they daven Friday night. So even if they daven after Shkia, it's only 10, 15 minutes after Shkia. Very often, when they say Kriyashma, it's probably too early. So you have to tell people that to remember to say Kriyashma when they get home that night. There are different opinions we said as to exactly what Tzeis Kechavim is, so even though we're a little bit more mach when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to Kriyashma, we could probably be a little bit more notel hokel. That's why in our shul, on a regular Friday night, we usually start Baruch with about 25 minutes after Shkia. By the time we get to Shema, it's 28 minutes after Shkia. So we assume that that's good enough for Kriyashma. So those who ask me, should we repeat Kriyashma after? Say, well, we could always repeat Kriyashma, nothing to lose. But those who are not going to repeat Kriyashma later, at least they relied on the Ikra Din, probably about 25 minutes or so in New York, is already considered to be Tzeis Kechavim. In the summertime, when we make early Shabbos, then I don't speak for 3 hours. That was not Kriyashma, obviously. Those who have to make Kriyashma. Then it used to be that I would still give it by Torah for like 2-3 minutes. So, you know, guys wanted me to just speak to you something. So they have 2 minyanim in Ashul. One is the pre-plag mincha, one is the regular bezman mincha, Moshkiya. So when I got the sense that people were going to whatever meeting they saw I was not going to, that's the one they went to, then I realized it's time for me to stop speaking. So I stopped. That wasn't why I stopped. Okay. Anyway, I was down lechaschus. Everyone came to the minute that I was at because they wanted to hear the 32nd of the Torah. Okay. Up until now, we've been talking primarily about Zmanim as relates to the Losaseis of Shabbos and a little bit of an impact in terms of Chos Tefillah, but the Zmani Yom are important in terms of the Mitzaseh of Shabbos as well. The Gemara discusses in the fourth parak of Brachas, when Shabbos begins, if a person starts Shabbos early, you could still recite Kiddush, even though it's somewhat of a Kiddush, because it's not really technically Shabbos yet, you could still recite Kiddush. How could you recite Kiddush? Kiddush is a mitzvah in the Torah. So there's a machlekes of Rishonim how to explain that phenomenon that you can recite Kiddush, even though it's not technically Shabbos. So some of the Rishonim say it's based on the Sefer Shabbos. And the Rambam clearly doesn't say that, because as we said before, the Rambam holds there is no Tosefer Shabbos. Kashua not min haTorah, so how can you say Kiddush? So the Rambam writes that you could say Kiddush before Shabbos starts, because it says, Zocher es yom haShabbos dekacho. So Zocher means Zechreya b'chnisa. So as Shabbos is coming in, you could say Kiddush. You don't have to wait till the Mamish is here already. So since according to the Rambam, you could make Kiddush before technically Shabbos, even though there's no Kiddush Hayom. It's nothing. It's not the Sefer. It's not nothing. It doesn't matter. As long as it's close enough to Shabbos. How close is close? You have to plug a mincha. So whether you hold like the Mordechai that it's based on the Sefer Shabbos or the Rambam is based on Zechariah B'chnisa. So for Maisa as a din, you can be Yotze Kiddush maybe Yod Yom. That's what we do. We make Yotze Shabbos. People make Kiddush. What about Suda Shabbos? Can one be Yotze in the midst of Suda Shabbos maybe Yod Yom? So that's really 2 days in Taisim Sachem. So one day in Taisim says that Suda Shabbos is not the same as Kiddush, and therefore Suda Shabbos has to wait until Tzeis Kichavim. And the other day in Taisim says no, even Suda Shabbos is good enough. If you're not Yotze Suda Shabbos, how are you Yotze Kiddush? Isn't that a problem of Kiddush Machom Suda? So you see clearly from that Taisis that Kiddush Machom Suda doesn't mean it has to be a Suda Shabbos. Kiddush Machom Suda means it has to be physically be a meal. Might have Kamina, but it's a Suda Shabbos or not. So according to one day in Taisis, you make Kiddush, you have a piece of challah, but that's not really a Suda. At the end of the meal, when it gets dark, then you have to have another piece of challah at the end. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, that Mi'ikra Din, we don't really follow that. Mi'ikra Din, we pass in, like the other day in Taisis, that you can be Yotze Suda Shabbos, maybe Yod Yom. So, but nevertheless, since not everybody agrees, the Mishnah Berurah recommends that a person should try to eat a piece of challah, because I eat challah at the end of the meal after it's already tasty chum. So I always tell everyone, when you make an early Shabbos, in the summertime, if you want to follow this chumrah, just make sure that if you're a guest in somebody's house, you explain why you're doing what you're doing. Because otherwise, the wife is going to be very upset. So you just ate a 10-course meal, and then at the end, for dessert, you ask for a piece of challah. It's very insulting. I'll just explain. I'm asking for challah because it's 2 days in Taisim Sachem. She'll tell you, do whatever you want. Don't tell me that. So again, it's a chumrah lechatchila. What about the other sudas? Are there any specific zmanim for the other sudas? So here, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that one has to be careful not to fast on Shabbos, and not only not to fast the entire day on Shabbos, one is not supposed to fast until Chatzos on Shabbos. Because fasting to Chatzos already, that's already, almost like you fasted the whole day. The Gemara says, if a guy doesn't eat the whole morning, then he starts eating after Chatzos, it's like he's throwing a rock into an empty barrel or something. It's like you're not eating anymore. So therefore, one should really try to eat something before Chatzos. So there is a question in the postgame, how serious this halacha is. What if a person's busy learning, he's busy davening, he's doing important things, how much does he really have to stop in order to, the Gemara doesn't say it's beferish, but I think it's Rishon, if I'm not mistaken, that says it. But Mr. Brook quotes two opinions about this, about whether one has to mamash stop whatever they're doing in order to not to fast themselves. So that's what we try to do. That's our practice. We try to do that. Even if a person is learning, one should try to stop and coordinate his plan, his Shabbos morning, that he eats a little bit before Chatzos. What does he have to eat before Chatzos? So L'chor, all he has to do is make Kiddush. Doesn't mean he has to have a Suda before Chatzos. Because if the whole Isra is an Isra of tightness on Shabbos, you make Kiddush, a piece of cake or something, you're not Yotze the Suda, but it's still sufficient. Well, let's say if a person drank some water before davening, so many Pesachim say you're allowed to drink water before davening. So if that's the case, and I'm not technically fasting, so according to some, that would be sufficient. Nevertheless, if you look at the Rambam, so the Rambam doesn't sound that way. Shulchan points this out. Others point this out that the Rambam sounds like there's a mitzvah that the Suda of the morning has to be a Suda's Boker. It has to be a Suda Shachar's. What's considered to be a Suda's Boker? Until Chatzos, if you eat a Suda 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's the afternoon Suda. It's not the morning Suda. That the Chanas HaChamim was that you have to have a Suda's Erev, a Suda's Boker, a Suda's Tzarayim. So the Suda's Boker has to be within the Zman of the Boker.
What if having water before davening, depending on Gemara and the other Pesachim? Because this should not fascinate. The Gemara says, you fast to Chatzos, it's eating after the skin of Zorak and Melchemas. So the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, you can eat the Sacha Leis Lomba. So I noticed the Gemara in the last paragraph of Sacham talks about eating before Abdullah.
Right.
He uses the same Lashon, Kaim Midi. Right? It says, Nisos of Askarov, if you're eating before Abdullah.
But we pass him that you're allowed to drink water before Abdullah.
We pass him to drink water.
So it means that's not called being toim. So you want to time it at the lush, toim, zir shabbat. It's not called toim for Chazav Dala, so then it wouldn't be toim to get rid of the problem of Zorik. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure what's the same way, Dora. Maybe it is. So, again, so if you go with the standard approach without this Ram Dirach HaShulchan, so then as long as you make Kiddush before Chatzos or some other way before Chatzos, then you'll be okay. But according to this Rambam, it's Aruch HaShulchan, that you have to have the Suda before, then you have to be more careful. You have to have enough time to begin. You don't have to have the whole Suda. You can eat Cholent after Chatzos. You can eat Cholent on Thursday nights also. But you can eat, to eat the Suda, the past part, that has to be done before Chatzos. That's what some people are machmir before. So this time of year becomes very, very touchy. Depends when you're going to daven. If you're going to daven at 9 o'clock minyan, and you're going to get home at 11:38, and Chatzos is 11:40, that's going to be kind of hard to do. So if a person wants to fulfill this opinion, that's what you're going to do. want to follow this opinion, so then you have to try to plan your morning accordingly. There's always a challenge this time of the year to fulfill this prophecy. Remember, my offer for this time of year it was Parshas Vayeshev, pretty much this time of year, before Hanukkah. So it was Parshas Vayeshev. So it was like earlier, you know, Chatzel was around 11:40 timing. So I knew a lot of my friends were going to be machmir at this, and the davening in the shul started at 8:30. So I know by the time davening is going to be over, by the time guys get downstairs to the kiddush, even though we're giving challah rolls, it's going to be late. So I told all my guys that, okay, listen, here by Enkele Tenu, there's a beeline downstairs, there are 30 challah rolls set up, and you can make kiddush and make a motzi and then wait till everybody else comes down to the kiddush. So I joined those 30 guys also. So anyway, it's a different story. Okay, so those who want to be machen for that, they're machen for that, those who don't want to be machen for that, so they don't have to be machen.
Are there any Rishonim who explicitly are Makel?
Nobody says it. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it. The Mishnah doesn't say it. The Rambam has the mashmos. So there is such a din of
eating this. There's also Rashi himself, and also.
By the Suda Shlishis, right. So Suda Shniya, again, whether it has to be Rebok or not is questionable, but Suda Shlishis somehow, we assume that it has to be B'tzarayim. Not everyone agrees to that. Some Rishonim will say you can have Suda Shlishis in the morning also. You can knock out the whole day. You daven Vasikin, we have lunch by 7 o'clock, have Shalashos by 9 o'clock, and take the rest of the day. So that's what some poskim say, but we usually assume not to go. We assume that Suda Shlishis has to be in the afternoon, which is hard to understand. If Suda's Boker doesn't have to be in the Boker, why does Suda Shlishis have to be in the afternoon? That's a hot phenomenon. But whatever it is, for Suda Shlishis, we assume that it has to be in the afternoon. What's considered to be the afternoon? So it's got to be the poskim veloshen after Zman Mincha Gedola. Some question whether that's literally Zman Mincha Gedola, really means after Chatzos. But whatever it is, it has to be sometime in the afternoon. So those who want to, I know some people at this time of year like to do the following, that they like to make, let's say, daven vesikin or shkelmin or something. So by 9, 10 o'clock they come home and they want to make kiddush and they wash, and that's the suda's boker. But they don't want to have cholent and chicken and kugel at 9 o'clock in the morning. So they have a very, very small suda. And then after 12:15, whatever it is, so then they sit down, they have lunch when the family comes out for the regular shuls. So then they sit down and have a lunch. So that lunch is technically suda shlishis. So can one do that or not? So Rav Moshe didn't like that practice. So Rav Moshe thought that the ikar suda is supposed to be suda shniya, but many will make from that. In Eretz Yisrael, many people have that practice. For many years, I know when I was in Kerem Yavne, that was always the practice. Somebody told me they changed it. What do they do now? What's the schedule of Kerem Yavne in the morning, after davening is over? Shabbos morning. What? And then when we shall show us 4 or 5 o'clock later in the day. Oh, so that's not what we used to do. So when I was in Kerem Yavne, davening was 7:30 on Shabbos morning. By 9 o'clock it was over. Then we had breakfast at Kiddush, and they had Kiddush, and that's about it. And then they had some challah and some chocolate spread and some jam or something. I think in the good days maybe a piece of yarmulke or something. That was Suda Shniya. Then there was Seder for a little bit, and the Rashiv would speak. Then they would daven Mincha. Mamash right the earliest man. Then lunch was 1 o'clock. So that was cholent. That was lunch lesh shal shudas, and that was it. Then he went to sleep till Sunday morning. That was pretty much the zman here. Okay, I went to sleep till Sunday morning. Somebody wants to do this anymore. Okay. So Shalosh Shuddos, we assume, is supposed to be in the afternoon. When is the latest time to do Shalosh Shuddos? This is part of what we spoke about before. We follow the Grosh to try to schedule Shalosh Shuddos before Shkia, at least to start Shalosh Shuddos before Shkia, before Shkia. There's one time every couple of years when you run into this big balagan in terms of Shalosh Shuddos. Of course, when you have an Erev Pesach for the Shabbos, that's the Rashi referring to, that there's no technical time to eat Shalosh Shuddos, because if you have to insist on having Shalosh Shuddos after Chatzos, so you can't eat challah because it's written in the Chumash. You can't eat matzah because you can't eat matzah the whole day. So what are you going to eat? So you have a big problem. What are you going to eat? So some Rishonim say, so have Shalosh Shuddos in the morning. So other Rishonim say, have to eat Shalosh Shuddos in the morning. It's impossible. You have to eat it in the afternoon. So some Rishonim say, you're right. There's no chiyuv of Shalosh Shuddos on that, on Erev Pesach Chalos for Shabbos. And other Rishonim, other poskim say, no, we try to finagle on Shalosh Shuddos. So we try to eat Shalosh Shuddos in the morning. We daven extra specially early to be able to have 2 meals in before. And then later in the afternoon, we eat mina tagima, a piece of chicken, a piece of fish or something, which according to some opinions would be good enough for Shalosh Shuddos. So we try to bend over backwards to chapa rain, make a little Shalosh Shuddos on Erev Pesach Chalos b'Shabbos. But except for that, so then we should, normal Shabbos, so we should plan our Suda Boker appropriately, whatever that is, and our Suda Shlish should be at the appropriate time as well. Okay, any other, any general questions? No, that's it. Yeah?
What about,
sorry, I should have said, so one should try not to, one should try to touch Shalosh Shuddos before Shkia.
Okay. one is in a shul that they don't finish mikvah for Shia.
How about a different school?
Is it better not to eat Surah Shishi altogether?
Okay, so that's a suffix. So the Yisra of eating before Avdolah is the Rabbana and some type of Lakula. You rely on. Lechem Chil, you should try to plan your day accordingly. You shall choose at the right time. You don't have to. Somehow.
Do you
eat bread
after Shia?
I think so.
Is there any. How Lechem Chil is eventual source after Shia?
After mincha, so there are the Shulchan Aruch holds different opinions about this. So the issue of eating shalshus after mincha, the pashtus and the rishonim is it's a function because you're not supposed to be eating before you daven mincha. That's nothing to do with Shabbos. And Tuesday also you shouldn't eat before you daven mincha. So the only thing is that we pass a mikra din. It's a sura ketanim, mikra ketanim, whatever the difference matter that we assume. So mikra din, we're not so worried about it during the week. So therefore, we probably shouldn't be so worried about it on Shabbos. There is some level of chumra. Also based on Lashon Rambam, that the Sudas are supposed to follow the Tefillahs. So, if all else is equal, I would tell people to eat their Sudas Shlishas after Mincha, but it's hard for me to say that with a tremendous amount of conviction, because I don't do that. Because every Shabbos, I always eat Sudas Shlishas beforehand, for a simple reason, because in my shul, we don't have Shal Shudas together. So, like I say, I share at that point, we don't have the space to make a whole Shal Shudas. So what we do is we have a Mincha, and then I give a Shia 45 minutes, I tell everybody to eat Shal Shudas beforehand. So, you shouldn't be prepared, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to give the shiur because I can go home and eat shal shudas. So I thought that was enough of its orech to do it the other way around. So then a couple of years ago we started an early mincha neshul called the famous shorish mincha. So another time, another place, what's called the shorish mincha. So they started at 2 o'clock early mincha every Shabbos. So I would theoretically like to daven at that mincha because then I would be able to eat in the proper way that eat shal shudas lechatchila after mincha. But l'mais I don't because. I don't want to say anything bad about that. Mincha is a beautiful minion, but it's not the main minion of the shul. So I feel as a rav, I should be davening mincha with the balabat and not with the teenagers. So that's whatever it is. We'll leave the inner Bergenfield politics aside. So therefore, I still eat shal shudas before mincha, notwithstanding the fact that I do have that option to. There's only one time I ever davened that mincha. It was last year. Last year there was I forgot what it was. It was a snowstorm, it was a hurricane, it was a something. Something was supposed to come on Shabbos afternoon. I forgot what it was. So everyone was nervous that no one's going to come out for the later mincha. I was still saying Kaddish. I don't want to take any chances. So I have to go to the room. Yeah.
Next one,
say
Shabbos. Should there be
Chanukah? I forgot about that, yeah.
Erev Chanukah. Should there be a finish Shabbos for Shkia? Should there be a problem with that?
Yeah,
I
don't know. So is there anything?
I
wonder about Al-Nisim.
Yeah.
The same way that we have a kapeda for Rosh Chodesh to try to finish the challah before Shkia, so she should try to finish the challah before Shkia, not to run into a Suffolk Al Nisim problem. Okay, I mean it's a little bit less. Al Nisim is less chomer than Yalvi Yavo because Al Nisim is not really meek for dinner benching anyway. So I don't know. Maybe you come to my shul, you can eat shalshus before milchi, whatever come. Depends who you're asking. Many poskim say if you really follow the Shita Zagra, then if you miss Shkia, you should have a Ma'ariv twice. Right? Some say that. What do I say? I don't know. There are many shuls that don't follow that. Many communities have the practice of that Ma'ariv Shkia. So, I don't know. Be part of those communities saying that Ma'ariv Shkia. You should try to finish Shmoneh Esrei before Shkia. You are Shmoneh Esrei. For sure you should try to finish before Shkia. The Reich HaShulchan has this famous kula based on the Klal of Bilam, the Tais and Brachas. If you start, whatever you start before this man, so that it keeps on going. So they say the Tshuva Zeker Onim that says that. Yeah, you should try to finish your Shmoneh Esrei before. Talk about mincha. Da mincha. We do da mincha. Yeah. We do it last week. We da mincha. I don't remember. Oh, the one to daven now. Want to wait for this minute? I'll turn off the tape. You don't answer that. Well, that's what we're saying. That's why. That's what we're waiting for.